Good to see everyone that's able to be here this morning. I hope you're feeling well. I might say something about what's up on the screen. As I was looking at that, I was thinking that not only lets you know where we are, but also a lot of times there are a lot of things said and written about the Church of Christ that aren't true. And the people that are on the internet see what we're doing, and then they know that some of the things they're saying are not true. So that's good. If you're watching this, streaming this morning, we're glad to have you here as well. As you can see, we're moving around a little bit this morning, so I'll be trying to lead the singing, and Tom will be doing the preaching this morning. So appreciate the work that goes into that, and that he's willing to do it as well. And was it last week with Ernie as well? So we just try to fill in so that things go well. And we have a good worship to God together. So if you will, turn to 196. I'm not going to try the PowerPoint. I haven't done that before. And we're going to build a library of songs on that. But some of the songs I had too, we don't have yet. But we'll build that. And eventually, this will be something you're just used to doing. When we get used to the PowerPoint, the paperless hymnal. So 196, There's Not a Friend. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not if you're able, please stand for prayer at this time. Heavenly Father, we come to thee today to worship you in spirit and in truth. We pray, Father, that the things that we might do here would be well-pleasing in your sight and according to your will. As our minds go to all those that we know of that are suffering and sick with the things that they're dealing with right now and in future things, we pray that you would be with them. Give them strength and courage and help us to be mindful of the things that they're suffering with and dealing with. We pray, Father, that you'd forgive us of our sins. Help us, as we've studied this morning, in your word of truth. We might be better servants of you. Turn away from those things that would draw us into sin and into worldliness, that we might be a follower that tries to emulate the things that you taught and the things that you lived as you were upon this earth. We pray now that in this worship service you'd be with us, that we might do those things that would be well-pleasing to you and sing these praises of songs, and as we hear your word, that we not only be hearers but doers of it. And we're so thankful for your love and the love of Christ, that we have that great hope in our hearts that we have, that when this life comes to an end, that we might be with thee throughout eternity in that heavenly home. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Number 100. The title of this song's quite important. There's something about that name. We've been studying, too, I might say before we start this, we've been studying in the book of Matthew, just starting out, and something to keep in mind, I never thought of it this way, it goes with, I think, a lesson we could develop on that, is the name Jesus. It means Savior, and we learned that. And then who named Jesus? Who gave him that name? Usually with us, it's our parents. And God the Father gave him the name. He appeared to God, spoke to Joseph during a dream, and told him to call Christ Jesus. So it is an important name. And there's a lot of scripture written about that. So this morning there's something about that name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Good to see everyone this morning. We're going to go to several scriptures. I hope you got your Bible with you. And that's how we learn of God's the Bible, the Word of God. As Jim just sung this song, 100, there's something about that name. Getting this lesson prepared last week or two, going over everything, and it's his song he just sung, something about that name. I was on the porch this morning going over a little bit of my lesson, and it was raining, and brought me to mind about After the Fragrance of Rain, and the song he sung about Jesus, kingdoms and kingdoms will all fall away, pass away. In Daniel chapter 2, 44, I think that scripture there tells us that the kingdoms pass away, but the word of the kingdom of God will stand forever. Daniel 2, 44, and that's the church. So this morning, if you'll bear with me a little bit, listen a little bit, we're going to talk about some names of our Lord up on the board. We often talk about Jesus being Christ, God, Son of God, and all good names. But there's on that list there, I think there's 53 names that talk about our Lord, different names in the Word of God. We're not going to go through all of them because there's too many, but I got some written down here, and I like to go to the scriptures and talk a little bit about certain ones. Let's talk a little bit about a name, or introduction. A name. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 1 tells us that a good name is better than precious ointment. A good name. And the day of death than the day of one's birth. If you die and had a good name, you love the Lord, that day of death is better than the day of your birth. Because if you go to heaven, it's a lot better. A good name. A good name is part of one's character and cannot be stolen. And if a man or woman maintains a good name until death, it can never be lost. Very important how we live on the earth here, to leave this earth having a good name. And don't matter how good you try to be, some people's not going to like you or whatever. But if we love the Lord and he loves us, he's satisfied with how we live, that's what counts. We please the Lord. Another word about names before we get on the list. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name, that's our Lord Jesus, under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. Then he tells us, Paul says in Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in what? The name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever we do it for our Lord's name. Hebrews 1:4 tells us that being made so much better than angels, he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Our Lord Jesus Christ's name is above the angels. Then 1 John 3:23, he tells us that his commandment that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Believe on his name. And what is the exceedingly greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his power? Which he what? He wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and dominion, and every name, there it is, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Ephesians 1:19-21. That gives a little bit about the names. Now, if you look up on the screen a little bit, like I say, I think I count 53 names, what Jesus, he shall be called, from the Old Testament to the New. We're not going to go over all of them, but I'd like to go over a few. They're not in alphabetical order, so. One of them is, I believe you pronounce it, I'm not too good with names in the Old Testament here. Silo, is that how you pronounce that, Jim, school teacher? Silo, or S-H-I-L-O-H. Anyway, Genesis 49:10. The Bible teaches us, if you'll follow along and look up these scriptures, Genesis, first book in the Bible, chapter 49, verse 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall be the gathering of the people. This verse is a beautiful prediction of the coming of Christ to become a lawgiver. One called Christ there, but that's his coming, taking the place of Moses' law someday. Shiloh. Another one on there is Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful. Our Lord's wonderful. A counselor, advisor. One unto us, the Bible says in Isaiah 9:6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6. And that was, I think, 700 years before our New Testament was written. It's all true. I'd like to look the word branch. If you see branch on there, you'll have to look down through there. It might not be very quick, but if you just listen long, I'm getting this from God's Word. Isaiah 11:1 tells us, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch. This is talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. Shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The word wisdom and understanding is very important, isn't it? In Proverbs 8:14, the Bible says, counsel is mine, this is God's word, advice is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. He's a man of sorrows. We've seen these verses many times, man of sorrows. Our Lord went through much sorrow to die for our sins. In Isaiah 53:3, the Bible teaches us that he was despised, rejected of men, grief. He had grief. Verse 5 tells us he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. Bruised. The beating he went through for us in Isaiah. Like I said, hundreds of years before he came to be born of a virgin. All true, church. He was wounded for your transgression, and every stripe he was beaten 39 times, I believe, was for our healing of our sins. The chastisement, all the pain and things he went through was for what? It was for our peace. And it was up on him. By his stripes, there it is, all those lashes with whip and bone and metal was for us. We are healed of our sins if we obey him. Look another one, advocate. I believe that's the first one. Advocate. It's in the Old Testament, or New Testament, I'm sorry. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. John says, this word advocate is to speak in favor of and or defend for us. My little children, John says, these things I write unto you, so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate. There it is, advocate. Who is that? That's our Lord Jesus Christ with the Father God, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's an in-between. He goes to God with us or for us to help us to get forgiven of our sins if we obey. He's our advocate, our helper, our defender. But we have to be willing to obey and change and do better, don't we? How about Lamb of God? You remember that one? John the Baptist, I believe, talked about this in John 1:29. Lamb of God. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming to be baptized toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God. Lamb of God. And what did John say? Who takes away the sins of the world. If we're going to get our sins taken away, it's going to be through Christ, isn't it? Only him. only him, and it has to be his way. Resurrection and life. You see that on there? Resurrection and the life. Our Lord is the resurrection when he raised from God, raised him from the dead, and he is eternal life. He who believes in me, though he may not die, he may die, he shall live. We know we're all going to die if Christ don't come first, but we can live again. John 11:25. He's a judge. He's the judge. God's given him all power and all authority on earth. He's going to be the judge. And Peter preached to Cornelius, if you look in Acts 10:42. Peter said to Cornelius, and he commanded us, that's Peter, to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. He was appointed by God to be the judge. John 12:48. Jesus said, he who rejects me and receives not my word has one that judges him. We're going to be judged by the word, aren't we? By God's word. One thing about Jesus, there's no mistakes when he judges. We won't be able to stand before him and say, well, I thought this or I thought that. It won't work because it's too late then. We need to do what he wants us to do today. Well, we have time. In 2 Timothy 4:8, the Bible says, finally, these is laid up. This is judge. For me, a crown of righteousness. This is Paul talking to Timothy. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge. There it is, righteous judge. He's not like these judges you see in the Supreme Courts, which we have to have them, who make mistakes. Our Lord don't make them. He said, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Here's what I like. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. I don't mean he's going to give a crown of life to everyone. It says here, who love his appearing. When he comes, if we're ready and love the Lord and love him to come right now, would you want him to come? He's the door. The door. There's another one on there. The door. In John chapter 10, if you turn your Bibles to John chapter 10, we'll read some of that and go over a little bit of it. John chapter 10, I'm going to read a few verses there and go over. Jesus, this is Jesus talking. He said, truly, truly, or verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and robber. There it is. But he that enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. What's he saying here? If you look down in verse 9, chapter 10 of John, what's he talking about? Door. Jesus said, I am the door. I am the door. Not literally door, but he's talking about the way. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And shall go in and out and find pasture. That word pasture means bread of life. It's the word. Okay? He said, if any man, anybody, tries to enter, not by the door, not by Christ, some other way, ain't going to work. He's talking about the church here. In order to enter the church, become a member of his church that he died and built, it's got to be through Christ and his way. And he tells us how to get that in other scriptures. And he says, I am the door, verse 9. Jesus is the door. And if you enter into the door, the way Jesus said, you become a member of his church that he died and built, you'll find pasture, the bread of life, and eternal life. In verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. There's another name on there. He's the good shepherd. It's a little bit about John 10. Jesus is the door. Has to be through him, has to be his way for us to go to heaven. And also we have the Word. The Word. This is the Word of God. In John 1, Gospel John 1, the beginning was the Word, wasn't it? That's the beginning of time. The Word was there. And the Word was what? With God. And the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. There's no way we can get around God without his Word. He is the Word. He's the one that made it, taught it, wrote it, had men write it. But it's the Word of God. He's the Word. Reminds me when Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy 4:2, he said, preach the Word in season, out of season. And also he says, in 2 Timothy 2:15, he said, study to show yourself approved, a man rightly dividing the word of truth. Need not be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of the word. You look on there's the word Savior. That's one we see a lot, Savior. In John chapter 4, 42, the Samaritans believed Jesus because of the Word. You remember when the woman told them about Jesus and they believed, but they had to hear him also. In John 4:42, they said to the woman, we believe not because of your saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, what? The Savior of the world. Now, them people heard Christ talking face to face. We haven't, have we? But we have his word here, and it's the truth. It's the truth. He is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. True vine. Look on your list there, maybe find true vine. And that's in John chapter 15. If you turn your Bibles, John 15. True vine. John chapter 15, verse 1. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it bring forth more fruit. You know, if you have apple trees or peach trees, and they start getting limbs everywhere, you prune them off so it'll give the tree strength and light, and it will produce more fruit. Jesus said, I'm the true vine. That's not counterfeit. He's true. And his Father, God, is the husband. He's like a farmer. He helps prune these branches as I get out of this. And he said, verse 4, if you look at that, abide in me, that's Christ, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Except it abide in what? The vine. Abide in Christ. Learn. Obey him. Knowledge and wisdom of the word. No more can you accept, except you abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches, that's us. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. Are we abiding in Christ? Are we really learning his word? Are we living for him outside this building? Are we wanting to go to heaven? For without me, you can't do it. You can do nothing, he said in verse 5. Now, very important, verse 6. If a man abide not in me, if we're not walking in light and living for God or Christ, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them in fire, and they are burned. That's pretty sound, isn't it? Pretty well spoken here, but Christ, if we aren't bearing his fruit, then heaven cannot be ours. Very important. How do we get fruit? How do we bear fruit? How do we grow fruit? Turn your Bibles to 2 Peter, if you will. 2 Peter, we just learned that Christ talking about bearing fruit. We have to bear fruit. Second Peter 1, 5 through 8. The Bible teaches us that giving all diligence, add your faith, virtue. Virtue, knowledge. Knowledge, temperance. Temperance, patience. Patience, godliness. Godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, love. Them's good words, aren't they? Peter said, you add these. Diligence, faith, virtue. Add to your faith. Virtue, knowledge. That's God's word. And to knowledge, temperance. That's long-suffering or patience. And to patience, godliness. And verse 7, to godliness, brotherly kindness. That's loving each other in the church, even though we have faults. Everyone has faults. Brotherly kindness and love. That's how we bear fruit, these things. You know how I know? If you read verse 8, he says, if you do these things and abound, that's grow, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if we add all these things, the Bible teaches us, if we don't have them and we're Christians, look at what he says. If you lack these things, if you don't grow in them, if you're not trying to live for God and studying and worshiping him, you're like a blind person and can't see afar off. And you forgot you was forgiven of your old sins. You know, it's a terrible thing to be blind, wouldn't it? I can imagine being blind, can't see. But that's bad. But being spiritual blind is worse. If we leave this earth without God and are spiritual blinded, that's going to last forever. That's worse than being physically blind. Verse 10. Wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence. There word diligence. Make your calling and election sure. Be sure about these things. Bear fruit. Because if you do these, what's he say? You will never fall. Yeah, we can fall from grace. We can fall as Christians and be lost. But if we do these things, keep growing in God and put him first, we won't fall. Very important, verse 11. For so an entrance, there's the word entrance, shall be ministered unto you abundantly into that heavenly everlasting kingdom. an entrance to that heaven, everlasting kingdom, that's heaven, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's worth it, isn't it? It's worth all of our time, talent, money, whatever we can do for God. Study and learn and obey Him outside this building. He knows what we do. He knows what we say. He knows what we think. And He knows if we are right with Him. One more. I had more here, I think, but getting there. But anyway, I don't want to go over. Anchor. He's the anchor. In Hebrews 6:19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. As an anchor holds a ship in place from wind and things. That's what our Lord does for us. He's our anchor, storms of life. He's our hope. And He holds the soul steadfast. Hope of heaven. He's our anchor. We sang a song. Will your anchor hold in storms of life? How about you? How about me? Will Jesus hold us? Will we let Him hold us? Will we follow and serve Him? I'm going to stop there and give the invitation. I don't want to go over. But I hope you've heard, learned a little bit about names in the Bible, about our Lord. There's many more. But we don't have time to go over all of them. If you're here this morning and you know we give an invitation to obey the gospel, if you haven't been baptized, we know you have to be baptized to go to heaven. Repent, confess, believe, and live faithfully. That's when we bear fruit. It's not just getting baptized and then going out here and live like we did. We can't do that. If we died last night, if you did or I did, where would we be today? The Bible teaches we have a soul. Where would we be today if you already died last night? There's two places. You remember Luke 16, the Lazarus and the rich man. Two places. One went torment. The other took comfort. So if we died last night, we'd be in one of them places, our soul. Rich man was in agony. He didn't want to be there. He wanted a little drop of water for his tongue. Couldn't have it. Lazarus didn't say much. He was comforted. He was in place of beauty, paradise, what it's called. I don't know all what it's like. It's a place of waiting till we go to heaven, if we go to paradise. It's where I want to go. I hope you do too. And last thing is, be not unwise. Ephesians 5:17 tells us, understand what the will of the Lord is and do what He says. Understand what the will of the Lord is. And we do that by knowing His word. So if you're here this morning, you need to be baptized, if you need prayers of the church, we're here to help you. We want to help you. We want you to grow. The church here needs to grow spiritually and in number. And in we're doing all we can, I believe, or everyone can do more. We need workers to help do things when it's things to do. We need workers. Elders can't do it all. Elders' wives can't do it all. We need workers. And that's what the Bible teaches, to work together. We're going to sing a song that Jim's chosen. So if you're here and you need anything, please stand, and Jim will lead us in 586. Thank you.
Have thine affections been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right with God? Dost thou count all things for Jesus the cross? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? asked a good question of us. Is our hearts right with God? You might turn to 175 this time. Thank you, Tom, for that sermon. Very good lesson. I was just thinking something before we begin this song this morning. I might mention this time because of the sermon that Tom did on that. But behind us on this farthest wall, there's a name up, and it says Church of Christ. It doesn't refer to this building. It refers to us. We are the Church of Christ. And I might say with the things that Tom brought up there brings to mind, he told us about Christ's church being built by Christ. It was Matthew 16:18. And then the things about that that came with all these names, it was named by God. Christ was named by God. And that name is so important. We think of the things that were brought up about that. He died for the church. He purchased the church with his blood. He's the groom, and we know that we are the bride as the church. So what name should we carry? I'm thinking the generation that's here now is going to pass away. Slowly, we've already started. I look, and there's many spaces here of friends and brothers in Christ that used to be here. Slowly, this generation will be gone. And I'm speaking especially to the younger ones. We cannot have a vote and take that name from a view off the building. Paul talked very much a lot about this in his scriptures, continuing on that. One of the things, I'll make this quick, I'll shorten this. There's many things I could say on this. But who were you baptized in the name of who? Christ. Jesus. So how can we take the name off the building, the name that we're called by Christians? We can't put another man's name up there. And one of these names really isn't suitable. Let's call him by the name that he was given by God. Jesus Christ. Now we go to preparing our minds for the Lord's Supper. Again, he purchased the church with his blood. Why did my, the depths and my riches, rather, 175 of the depth and the riches of God's love, Christ's love. Oh, the depth and the riches of God's saving grace, flowing down from the cross for me. There the debt for my sins by the Savior was paid. In his suffering on Calvary, oh, the depth of such wonderful love, flowing boundless and full and free, and the debt for my sins was all paid in his suffering. What a measurable grace I Randolph.
Does anybody need communion?
We come and surround this table upon the first day of the week. And we know by the scriptures that God has wanted us to do that. We studied this morning in our Bible class how we talked about grace. And in grace, you know, it's a little time period. God has given us a little time to be able to change. But the Lord's Supper doesn't change. But he also, too, tells us how to take it and how to do it. And like what we learned in our Bible class this morning, we're all with one unit. We're all united together. We're all one group. And we're stronger, you know, being one group. And we learned that from this morning from our class. And like the Lord's Supper, like I said, we're to do this up on the first day of the week. Christ has given us and God's given us what we need to do. And to present, and what we have in reference, what we have in our hands, it has the bread that represents the body that was taken up on the cross. And the fruit of the vine represents the blood that Christ shed up on the cross for all of us. And we're all in together with this. We're all one. And that's what God wants. In scriptures, to be able to prepare our minds for the partaking of the Lord's Supper, I'd like to read from Mark chapter 14, and read from verse 22 through 25. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread, and blessed it, and broke it, and gave to them, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until the day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God." You know, just from what we read right there, you know, this is given to us by God. And he's telling us what we need to do. And we know we have to do this up on the first day of the week. Of the emblems in remembrance of what Christ did for us upon the cross. He wants us to remember. And that's how we're all joined together as one. Let's go to God in prayer and give thanks for the bread. Our Father in heaven, we'd like to thank you for letting us be able to come and surround this table and remember what Christ did for us upon the cross. Bless this bread for its intended purpose. All this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's continue our thanks and go to God and give thanks for the fruit of the vine.
Our Father in heaven, we continue our thanks of being able to come around this, surround this table and remember what Christ did for us by shedding his blood up on the cross. Bless this fruit of the vine for his intended purpose. All this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Also separate and apart from partaking of the Lord's Supper is the offering. In the past, if you want to call it past history, we used to have a tray that we used to send down and down each row to partake of the offering from each person. But now, since COVID went through, we have a box back in the foyer where you can drop it off when you come in or drop it off when you're coming and going out the door. But there's a box back there conveniently for us to be able to do all that when we go to leave, if we haven't done it already. Let's go to God in prayer and give thanks for the offering.
Our Father in heaven, we like to be able to say thank you for everything that you've given us, especially now as the time to change the seasons are. We can look outside. We can see trees are growing green. Flowers are growing, and also the grass is growing. And we know all that comes from you. And we know that for the work of the church, you know, we are to give it back what we've been prospered for the work of the church. All this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, church. A few announcements here this morning. quite a few folks remember on prayer list there. Getting sick's easy to do, but getting well is not very easy to do. Keep Daryl and Karen Hurst in your prayers. Also, there's, like I say, in the bulletin, there is quite a list. Try to keep those folks in your prayers and your thoughts. Quite a few events going around area churches. Get a bulletin, look those up. Holly, this morning, put a sign-up sheet up on the bulletin board back in the foyer for food for the Friday night sing. If you're able to do that, please sign up. Holly and Heidi and Grace and Katie, they're all traveling today. They're going down to Tennessee for Gracie's going to go to college this coming fall. Keep them in your prayers as they travel. Also, we have a Fisher and Kenny Road Church of Christ there in Columbus. Have a thing about their Home for the Buckeyes for Christ ministry. I'll put all this on the bulletin board back there. If you know someone's going to high state or just somewhere in Columbus for colleges coming year, we'll put that down there and you could tell them about it and give them a place to go. Wednesday night, we have a mystery. We have some pictures here. We don't know where they came from, who they might belong to, but if they're yours, I'll have them back here in the back. Let me know, and I'll give them to you. Like I say, if, or maybe you take a look at the picture and you know who they are, well, that'll help solve some of the mystery. Anything else need to be announced, or Linda and Elaine and Rosemary, all three of the sisters, keep them in your prayers and thoughts there. They're going through quite a lot. Anything else? If not, Tyler will lead us in closing prayer.
Please stand. Please stand. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come together today on this beautiful first day of the week to be able to worship you and sing songs unto you. God, we thank Brother Tom and the efforts that he put into his lessons today, that we're able to continue to take what he taught from your word and truth, apply it to our lives, and continue to grow as Christians. God, please help us to continue to grow as Christians and as your church, that we're able to teach others and help your kingdom grow. God, we ask you to be with those mentioned or enlisted in our prayer list that have so many different things going on, health illnesses, tests, and procedures. Please give them comfort during their challenging times. God, we ask you to be with us as we separate and go our own ways, that we're able to be safe in travels, and that we're able to stay strong in temptation. And when we fall short, Lord, please forgive us of our sins. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.